Reading to you from the 142nd Psalm and with the 7th verse. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. I gave my heart to Christ over 45 years ago, I should say, in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach. My stars in the morning, dear friends, we had a wonderful service down at the prison in Canyon. I mean to tell you, the quartet was the best I've heard of in a long time, and we just had a wonderful time. It was so crowded, dear friends, that there was no way that the men could come forward during the invitation, so they had just stand at their seat. And there were 6 or 7, I think, except for Christ, and there's about 25 other decisions for men who have been wandering a little bit from the Lord, and we just had a wonderful time. We had to stay at the motel that night in Colorado Springs so I could take my treatment the first thing in the morning, 8 o'clock. Friends, I only have, Lord willing and the creek don't rise, I only have 15 more treatments, 15 more trips to Colorado Springs. And I'm beginning to feel better. Really pray for me. I believe that this treatment could help thousands and thousands of people who are suffering from angina. I really, really do. Well, listen, I'll be with you for an hour. Kick off your slippers. Sit back and relax. Pour you a cup of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Dear friends, would you unite your heart with me in prayer at this time? Gracious Heavenly Father, how I thank you, dear Lord, for the wonderful service that we had at the prison Sunday. Oh, precious Lord, this just blows my mind. Doesn't make any difference if we're old or we're sick or whatever. When we have an opportunity to stand before those men and share this wonderful gospel message, it lifts you up. It really, really lifts us up. Thank you, Lord, for helping me to find Lonnie Royal's tape. Thank you for the conversation I had with him last week to encourage him and get him to write some more music. Lord, there's so many hurting people in this world tonight. So many people who have had the same thing that I have, angina pectoria. Lord, I pray for them that they'll be able to get help. Now, Lord, I pray tonight that you'll minister to the hearts of all of our listening friends and our family. And Lord, I pray that you'll lift up Jesus, honor your word, hide me behind the cross, and save that person that's on the road to hell tonight. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. If you have your Bibles, will you turn with me to the 2nd chapter of Genesis, and let's begin reading with the 15th verse. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave the name thereof, gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air and every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bone, and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and there shall be one flesh. And they were and they were both naked, and the man and his wife were not ashamed. Friends, listen. There's sure a lot of good reading in the second chapter of Genesis. But did you know, friends, people are confused about what they need. You know, we spend a lifetime gathering temporary trinkets. Years ago, I was called over here in a very wealthy part of Denver to roof a house. This woman had lived at this house for 60, 70 years. And I never saw so much junk, and I'm sure she thought it was good stuff. And she'd kept every magazine that she'd ever bought. I think she'd taken and kept every newspaper that she ever bought. Kind of sounds like my place. My wife is one for keeping books. Now, not so, before we moved in from Parker, I was in there and I said, I'm going to get these magazines out. And oh, no, don't do that. Why? Well, there's an awfully good recipe in that one. Well, where in the world will you find it? Well, it's in there. But we do. We spend a lifetime gathering trinkets and stuff that has no earthly good to us, now or in the world to come. And the Bible tells us, what profit is there in gaining the whole world and losing your own soul? And yet there are millions of people who would be glad to sell their soul for $1 million or whatever. Now we have game shows, You Want to Be a Millionaire, we have all kinds of shows. People are trying to get on these programs and trying to get something for nothing. People who play these lotteries, they're trying to get something for nothing. And you know what, friends? It's a proven fact that most of the people that win large sums of money from the lottery either end up divorced or bankrupt because they don't know how to handle their money. In fact, the matter is they don't know what they want. People are confused. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 6:7 that we will leave this world empty-handed. You're not going to take a blessed thing with you. So why are you trying to gather all this stuff and all this junk? It is mostly junk. You see, God knows our basic needs, and He will provide for them. Now listen to me, friends. I can attest to that. I can truly attest to that. When I first started preaching, we were so broke we couldn't pay attention. And I remember the Lord would get me a roof job, and I'd go put that roof on, and that would buy us groceries for a week, or that'd buy me gas to drive to some church to preach. And we really, honestly walked by faith for years and years and years, never knowing whether we were going to have anything. Well, I remember one time, the convention in Portland sent me to preach in a church up at Longview, Washington. I didn't have a spare tire, and all I had on me was 50 cents when I left Portland. What do you suppose happened? I had a flat tire. Well, I was pretty sure I couldn't get the tire fixed for 50 cents, but I went into this service station. The man said, you know, you're in luck. Of course, we Christians don't believe in luck, but you're in luck. He said, there's a tire. Someone gave that tire to us, so he bought a new one. And I'll tell you what, I'll just give that tire to you. See, God didn't want to embarrass me by telling him I didn't have any money but 50 cents. But see, God provided our basic need. That's happened so many times in my life. And you know what? There's a lot of people who've never had the privilege of walking by faith. They've always had a solid. I know pastors, and I'm not picking on pastors because there's a lot of good pastors. But I know pastors that got out of high school, went right into college, right on into seminary, got out and took a church and never had to worry about a dime. They always had a salary. And I don't know what they'd do if they had to work. It's just like, you know, down here at these big grocery stores. You know, they have those machines. They just rub the thing across and it registers it and puts it in the cash register or whatever. And if one of those things would go out, they're up the creek because they don't even know how to ring up groceries. I'm afraid, friends, and I don't want you to think I'm an old fuddy-duddy, but you know I'm afraid these computers are doing a lot more damage sometimes than good. I mean, the other day my wife was showing me something. I don't mess with computers. You say, that's because you're not smart enough. Well, that well could be. But anyway, my little grandchildren can sure do them. Whoop them up there like I never saw. She was showing me this stuff that kept coming up on me. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe the things that's on those computers. And there's evil on those computers as well as good. You can bank on that. But you see, God truly has provided for every need in his creative plan. But we must go back to the beginning to discover our basic needs today. Well, number one, we need food. Now, God knows you need food, and we all have to have it. But I'll tell you one thing, since I had this heart deal, the food I eat today is sure different than what I used to eat. In fact, for breakfast, I told my wife, I said, if someone would have told me 6 months ago that I would be drinking 1% milk and putting on my syrup, I'd have said, you're crazy. But you know, I don't mind 1%. In fact, I like it now. Whereas before, I wanted the whole milk, you know, and I liked a little half and half and stuff like that. I don't need it now, and I better not use it now. But Paul said food and clothing ought to make us content. We should be contented with what we have, but we're not. Now, when God placed his newly created man in a beautiful garden, it must have been a beautiful place. Oh, my stars in the morning. It contained every tree and every plant to Adam's delight. Beauty were there for his taking. But in spite of the ideal environment, Adam fell into sin. In spite of everything, you'd think, now, man, this guy would be very content with what he wanted. But Adam disobeyed in spite of God's love and provision. And you know this as well as I know. You and I need spiritual food as well as physical food. They go together. They go hand in hand. But a lot of times, you know, we'll dry up, we'll shrivel up when we don't partake of the spiritual food that's provided for us. You know, I can remember when I was a baby Christian, and I used to preach in these preach revivals or preach in some of these large churches in the South. I'd walk into that pastor's study, and I tell you, it would blow my mind. Look at all those books. Look at all those wonderful, wonderful books. And I almost envied them. Now, I've got a big library now, but it's taking me a long time to get it. I want to tell you something about God providing something. Now, this might be hard to believe and seem hard for me to believe, but it actually happened. I was waiting for my traveling orders to go from Oakland, California to Riverside, California to go to Bible college. And my wife and I were not getting along too good because she was wanting to get started and I wanted to get started, and we couldn't get started to go down there. We didn't have the money yet. And so at 5 o'clock in the morning, I'd get up, go in the kitchen, get down on my knees and pray and study God's word, trying to get some orders to what God wanted me for that day. And this particular day, it was as plain as a nose on my face that I was supposed to go to the library in Oakland, California to find the answer. Now that sounds like a funny story, untrue story, but it is a true story. I went over to the library there in Oakland, California, and it was 2 or 3 stories, I think, if I remember correctly. And I didn't know what I was looking for, had no idea why I was there. I knew that God had sent me there for a purpose, but I sure didn't know why. I walked up to the lady at the desk, and I said, "Where's your religious books?" She said, "On the second floor." So I walked up there, and here was, yay, thousands and millions of books. Now, how in the Sam Tar am I going to read those millions of books? No way. So I just started going through books, and I'd look a little bit, and I'd put it back. Look, put a little bit, put it back. And pretty soon I came across a small book written by, all things, a woman. Now you say, "Cecil, what you say that for?" Well, a woman wrote the book. Now, I picked the book up, and it just felt right. I sat down, and I began to go through this book. All of a sudden, it says, "Has your prayers been hindered?" And I thought to myself, "Well, I guess so. We're sure not getting down to Riverside very fast." And he said, "How about you and your wife? Have you and your wife been fussing?" And it hit me like a ton of bricks. Well, we had been fussing because I was getting impatient, she was getting impatient. And it said in there that when husband and wife have aught with one another, it hinders our prayers. And I went home, and I told my wife I was sorry for me being so persnickety. And did you know what? And a week later, we were headed down to Riverside, California. To God be the glory. Now, I want you to know, friends, I had, and this is the truth, talking about walking by faith, we had $50 in our pocket. And I had a gas-guzzling Chrysler. We had a tire that was bad. Had no spare tire. We had all of our life possessions in a trailer in the back, pulled behind that car. I pulled into a gas station in San Francisco, and I said, "Sir, I need to get a boot put in my tire." And he said, "A what?" I said, "A boot. I want to put a boot in there, because I got a little lump there in my tire." He said, you're insane, man." He said, "That heavier car with that load, and you're going to put a boot in?" I said, "That's what I want, because I don't want to spend any more money, and I have to." He said, "I'll do that, but I'll tell you one thing. I will not guarantee you when that car gets down off of that jack that it won't explode and blow up." And I said, "That's a chance we must take." Friends, he put a boot in that tire. Of course, you could hear it thump, 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 thump as you're going down the road. But did you know, I think that tire took us all the way into Riverside, and I think it was about a month later that it finally blew up. But see, God took care of our needs. He knew that I was trying to get an education so I could go out and better serve him. Well, that's the thing that we need to remember in serving the Lord, that God has a way and has a purpose. He had the same thing for Adam. Adam had everything going. Peter said we need to desire the sincere milk of the word. God has graciously provided food for the body and for the soul. But we need to be faithful. Now, God gave Adam the responsibility of taking care of the garden. We all need responsibilities in life, and we need to work. There's one thing that I'm telling you I can't see. People who will not work. Now, you say, well, maybe they're emotionally unable to work. Well, that may be sometimes. But you know what work does to me? I'm 75 years old, and work to me does something for me. It makes me happy. I just love to be able to do something. And when you can't do anything, then you're not happy. But in the path of duty, sometimes we just stumble into happiness. Thank God for work and the strength to do it. We also need to be faithful to God, obeying His will. Every tree but one was for food. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." He has so many things that he wants us to do. And if we will follow him, he will lead us. But lots of times We want to do it our way. Every time we do something our way, it's usually the wrong way. The one exception became Adam's downfall. Let me ask you, friends, what is your temptation and battle today? Are you a Christian and you see nothing wrong going into the bar and having a couple of beers? Are you hooked on tobacco? Friends, listen, did you know, and you know as well as I know, that tobacco is hard for your health? Eating the wrong kind of food is hard for your health? I can tell you, I can attest to that, because I did that. I ate the wrong food. And because I ate the wrong food, I'm paying for it now. And I did smoke for years, but God took that away from me. And I drank for years, and God took that away from me. Focus on all that you have in Christ, and victory will be yours. The Bible said we need fellowship. Now, here's what God said. It's not good that man should be alone. The one thing about creation that was not good, that man lacked of a mate. You know, now Paul said, I'd like to have you all be like me, be single like me. But dear friends, listen, I've been married 54, going on 55 years. And I'll tell you, it's been good. We've had our hard times. Oh, yes, we've had our hard times, especially when I was an alcoholic. But God brought us through it together. And it's wonderful to have a wife. And I know you women say it's wonderful to have a husband. And I've heard women say, I wish they didn't have my husband. And I feel sorry for them. See, God created woman to remedy this problem. God performed the first surgery and used the first anesthetic. God made woman from Adam's rib. How fitting. Now, Adam wouldn't have to be alone anymore. Hey, you know, the thought of being alone is a terrible thought. That's a terrible thought, to be alone. No one to love you, no one to care for you. That's one thing about we Christians. All these times I've been going through all this pain and stuff in the hospital and stuff, I felt very close to the Lord because He was with me. He said, Lord, I'm with you even in the world. I'll go with you through your sickness, through your sorrow, through your heartaches. He'll do that, dear friends. He'll really, really do it. Ken Jackson has been sick and in the hospital, and he's had so many problems. And yet, you ought to hear the testimony. He's thrilled to death because the Lord was with him through all this. Now, Ken and I can help other heart patients, and we can share with them, and we can give them some encouragement. That's why we have these problems and trials, so that we might be a blessing to others. We might grow in grace and lean more on the Lord and less on ourselves. Marriage is the closest bond of life, the most blessed of fellowship. We also need the fellowship of other believers. And like I told you, every Friday, Tex and Bill Adelong and Ken Jackson and I, we meet at this restaurant. Sometimes we spend 2 hours in there sharing our faith with one another and sharing with those waitresses and waitresses and telling them about Jesus. It's a joy. And they know when we come in that they're going to hear about God. They sure are. Well, friends, listen. God has provided for our physical, spiritual, and social needs. He has also provided forgiveness of sin and eternal life. And that's the most important thing. Friends, we're just sojourners passing. This is not our home. He tells us that we have a mansion. That is, if we've been born again, washed in the blood, sins washed in the blood, we have eternal life. You see, God wants to meet you in your special need today. And you know what your need might be. I don't know what it is. It might be you might need food, you might need clothing, you might need a job, you might need a place to live. I don't know what your needs are, but if you know Jesus, He promises, that's His promise, He'll go with you through it. Now, I can't find anywhere in the Bible where he says, if you demand that He healed you, that He will do that. I can't find that. The one thing I do find, if a man repents of his sin and calls upon Jesus as Lord and Savior, He'll save you and he'll give you eternal life. That's his promise. Now, I didn't promise that. That's what he promises. Fred, now I told you from the bottom of my heart what Jesus has done for me and my wife for these past 45 years. Oh, there's been times when we wanted more, but really, right now, I would love to have more finances so that I can go do more prison work. Because it does take about $100 to $125 when I take the quartet and we go to these prisons. And by the time we eat, and when my wife and I have to stay in a motel because I can't come drive all the way back, I'd love to do that. But it's up to the Lord to provide that because I have no way of doing it. But he will. Lots of times he speaks to our listeners who will say, well, listen, I'm going to send $10 in to help them with gas. Oh, you don't know how I appreciate that. And when you get on the other side of glory and those books are open, you're going to see what you gave. And so am I. Oh, yes, we are. It's going to be kind of scary sometimes. If you don't know Jesus tonight and you'd like to have him take care of your needs and you feel it tugging at your heart, would you bow your head to me right now? And would you pray this old-fashioned sinner's prayer? Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord, be merciful to me. I'm turning my back on the old way of life and